whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, it's time for a Tischler Tuesday and not my beat. He was there in Dallas and apparently had one hell of a time getting home. Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us. Mitchell, I heard flight cancellation, New York drive.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a nightmare. Thanks to American Airlines for canceling my Sunday night flight that would have gotten me back to D.C. before a single flake of snow hit the ground. Unfortunately, they decided to cancel that flight, and the ripple effect had me stuck in New York City last night, renting a car and making a 3-4 hour drive through the snow and ice and all the fun to get back home. Also, I could be here ready to join you, listening to some Avicii and air horns, getting ready for some football, playoff football.
Well, I mean, I'd hope that at least the end part is good. I'm not going to say worth it. I mean, we could have taken your call from anywhere, Mitchell, and I would have rather you just been home nice, safe, sound, and rested. Yeah, that sucks. Anthony had a similar experience, actually, almost on Sunday. He had a flight from Indy where he was watching Zaire and friends for the last game of the regular season, a ticket that he got long ago thinking that game could mean something. Whoops. And then his flight got canceled, and then he had to get on another flight. And I don't get why the airlines get to make that call. I'm like, why could Anthony have gotten on one flight on one airline but not another? Why isn't it the airport that's making that call? Being like, no, these planes are done. Other than that, airlines, get your planes off. What are we doing?
Yeah, it was ugly. Apparently, DCA was closed pretty much all day yesterday, which the airline certainly knew when they kept telling me that the flights were going to take off. But all's well that ends well. I made it home, and the Commanders have a win going into the playoffs. Get a little bit of momentum from Terry McLaurin.
No doubt about it. And also, the brand is strong, Mitchell, which is nice. As we said that you were coming on in the YouTube chat, we have someone who just left a lot of potato emojis. So, holy potatoes. Let's talk some football.
Holy potatoes indeed. I mean, listen, this beginning of the season, 12 wins, but six seed in the playoffs, no one would have expected any of that.
No.
It's been a crazy season with this team winning games every which way, and I'm so excited about what this thing's gonna look like this weekend and hopefully the next couple of weekends.
For sure. And we're going to get into all that in a second. I do want to go back, since you were in Dallas and in the locker room and doing all the postgame stuff on Sunday night. Obviously, it was kind of a wacky day with Daniels getting sat at halftime. Dan Quinn gives us the leg soreness story. I don't think it really holds up as told, although I don't really have a problem with what I'm pretty sure the real version is, which is, it was week 18 and nobody cares if you pull your quarterback when you've already clinched the playoff spot in week 18. If there's any inkling that something could be wrong, and go ahead, get Marcus those snaps. Like, fine. I just thought it was funny that Dan was like, if it was week 12, I would have done the same thing. Where Jaden is like, if it wasn't that situation, they would have had to drag me off the field. What was it like in the locker room, and in the press conference room, kind of sorting through all that on Sunday night?
Yeah, it was interesting. My only issue with kind of the way that they went about this last Sunday was clearly Jaden was in the game, but they clearly didn't put together a big time game plan. It was a pretty basic set of offensive plays, almost like what you would do in a preseason game with him. Right away, you know that there's an issue when Biadasz is unable to go and Micah Parsons is going right up the middle and getting after the quarterback. And at that point, if you're not gonna go in there and really play to try and win the game, which obviously would have secured the sixth spot and everything, everything ended up well. So it's great that happened. But they kind of dipped their toe in the water. They didn't, this team, this coaching staff, which has been preaching consistency and wanting to go for it and be aggressive and winning time moments and all these different things. And then we got to week 18 and it was kind of half a preseason game and half a regular season game.
A half-baked potato, if you will, Mitchell.
What's that?
A half-baked potato, if you will.
If you will. If you didn't want Jaden to get hurt, you shouldn't have played him, and you should have just gone with Mariota. And quite frankly, with the team that the Cowboys were trotting out there, there was always a chance that Mariota was going to be enough to win the game himself. And ultimately, when he came in, that's what happened. So that was my only kind of real beef with the way that they handled this. I didn't like it once all the offensive linemen were out and injured. And, you know, then you're kind of just trying to get Jaden some snaps, which, you know, I don't know that at this point in the season he needs.
Right. And, you know, then it's kind of they're doing it for Jaden, but then Frankie goes out, he comes back in, you know, Coleman goes out, comes back in, goes back out again. So it just seemed a little inconsistent. But ultimately, like, yeah, the franchise quarterback that is your most important player, let's make sure he doesn't get hurt in a Week 18 game. That's not meaningless, but it's not as meaningful as having him healthy in the playoffs. I have no problem with it. It was just the messaging was weird. So I was curious if there's anything more from being in the locker room on Sunday night. Obviously, one of the great things that has happened this season that you, I'm sure, got to talk to this guy about and talk to a bunch of other folks about is Terry setting the touchdown record. The way it goes down, being a game winner, just feels so appropriate for this season. What was the vibe like around Terry in the locker room? And for a guy that we've all gotten to know since he got here, to have this turnaround and for it to end with that history, what did it mean to him and what did it mean to his teammates?
Yeah, I mean, there was a ton of excitement for Terry and about Terry, not just the fact that it was, you know, the game-winning play, which obviously almost makes it, you know, that much more, but for a guy who's as well-respected in that locker room as anybody else that walks through those doors, to go out and to be able to, for them to be able to get him, you know, get him that record, get him that status, meant so much to everybody. And, you know, as you look at what the Bucs did with Mike Evans in Week 18, they trotted him back out there at the end of the game and, you know, threw him a, whatever it was, 5-yard pass to make sure that he got over 1,000 yards. Felt kind of cheap because the Bucs were so far ahead in that game. But for Terry to be able to go ahead and do that in an important moment in the game, you know, to secure the win, to secure the 6th playoff spot, was just, you know, was a perfect full circle for everything that this team has been through, for everything that he's been through. And it's awesome to add Marcus Mariota to the list of all the different quarterbacks that have thrown touchdowns to Terry McLaurin in his career, because that guy has been through so much. And to see this offense have as much success as it had this year, along with Jaden Daniels, it's great. It's encouraging. And I think it points towards a lot of great things in the future.
At the very least, Terry's going into the Ring of Fame, depending on how the next 3 years go. Like, we could be talking about a guy who's in the mix for the Hall of Fame. I think whenever he goes to whatever the biggest ceremony he's going to have is, Ring of Fame, Ring of Honor, jersey retirement, or Hall of Fame. You know how the Browns fans have the jerseys that have all the quarterbacks on them? I think Terry should get his own version of that to wear to that ceremony. And then he should probably tear it off and just have a Jaden jersey underneath.
Right. I mean, to start off the way that he has with all the different quarterbacks, and I brought up the Mike Evans getting to his 1,000 yards because I think this year was the 10th year in a row that he's gone for 1,000 yards.
11, actually, yeah.
Is it 11? Yeah. Terry's on his own path. He's, you know, younger than Mike Evans, but he's working his way towards those same kind of milestones. And the way that, you know, you hear the national media talk about Mike Evans, particularly like the selflessness department and the way that he, you know, has talked about trying to open up the passing game for other guys in Tampa. I think you talk the exact same way about Terry McLaurin here in D.C. And he's a couple years away from, I think, garnering kind of that big time national attention the way that Mike Evans does. But I think as you look at the progression of Mike's career, despite the fact they got to play with Tom Brady for a couple years, I think there's a lot of similarities that you can draw with Terry. And certainly, as we get into this weekend, I think it's almost poetic that those two are going to be up against each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, Mitchell, we kind of went into this conundrum earlier in the show that there's a lot of stuff that I think we are looking at, and not just we media or fans, that the Commanders coaching staff is like, yeah, that's not going great right now. Don't love that. And yet they've won 5 in a row. How do you start to make sense? And as you and JP talk about this stuff on the pod, do you find yourself being more pessimistic about the quality of the performances or more optimistic about the fact that they just went undefeated in December and January and now are headed into the playoffs having won 5 straight games?
Heck no. I mean, yeah, there's certainly plenty of things that you can point to that aren't going great. And, you know, as you look at the run game and the pass defense and corner and the play at the corner, all those different things. Sure, you want better, but I think this team knows that they need to be better at it, and it's something that they'll address in the offseason. We came into the season knowing that they didn't really have a number two receiver. We came into the season knowing that the secondary DBs were going to be a little bit of an issue, and yet this team found a way to still come away with 12 wins and do everything that they did. You know, you were looking at a team that's riding a five-game win streak, and it's all because of number five. It's all because of Jaden Daniels. And I think as you look at this playoff structure as we move forward, you're playing the Bucks this week that, you know, you can outscore. You can win a shootout with them. And quite frankly, that I think that's how this team is going to have to go about, you know, winning games. It's going to be about ball control. It's going to be about moving the ball down the field. It's going to be about what they're able to do with number five, both in the pocket and as he runs the ball. And, you know, there are a lot of deficiencies on this roster, and we knew that coming in. That's why we the coaching staff and all of us were talking about, you know, this being a rebuilding year. They turned over more than half the roster in the offseason, and yet they still found a way to win. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, the physical ability that Jaden Daniels has. But I think you also have to give the coaching staff and Dan Quinn a ton of credit for getting these guys to buy in and be a team and be one and, you know, play together. And the results on the field aren't always great, but you don't see guys pouting. You don't see guys quitting on their team. You know, I think that's an important thing that particularly when you get to the playoffs, that big famous word that we all love talking about, the culture that DQ has built is pretty dang strong.
So if we take the premise that the main driver of their winning is Jaden, does how he played and the lack of production on Sunday in the first half before he swaps out for Marcus give you any pause going into Wild Card weekend?
Absolutely zero. Like I said when we first started, if they were going to go out there with the game plan that they had in that first half with Jaden, I would have rather they just sat him and not even, you know, worried about him taking hits. I think not having Tyler Biadasz out there was a big part of that. I am hopeful and optimistic that he's going to be back at center. But ultimately, you know, what happened on Sunday in what for the starters or for Jaden was essentially a preseason football game for him doesn't particularly concern me. The lack of a running game still concerns me. The lack of ability to get any push on both the offensive or defensive line certainly concerns me. But Jaden not doing a whole lot in, you know, whatever it was, 24 minutes of football isn't 30 minutes of football isn't the worst thing in the world.
So for whatever it's worth, I agree with you. And I think that the performance on Sunday and watching it back on tape and in 15 minutes here on the show, it's the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, is with us for his weekly spot here. But in 15 minutes, we'll have the Jaden Daniels Take Command Tape Tuesday, where we let everybody hear what Logan and I saw when we watched it on tape. And the short version is, Mitchell, like, it actually wasn't that bad from a mental standpoint. He just missed throws, and I don't know why he missed those throws. I don't know how much practice time he got last week. You know, obviously the last 2 weeks, the schedule's been a little funky. Christmas 2 weeks ago, New Year's this week. I don't know if they went more walkthrough. It certainly seemed like the amount of guys they rested on Wednesday, it was not a full practice by any stretch of the imagination. And when earlier in the season, he kind of went through a rut throwing the ball. We chalked it up some to the rib injury, but there was also less practice time because they were in that like whatever three games in 12 days or whatever they had with the Thursday nighter a couple weeks ago, or at this point a month plus ago. So I actually looked at the tape and was like, oh, he'll be fine. Like, they just have to get back on their P's and Q's in practice this week versus what I think it felt like in real time, which was like, something's not right here. Like, he's not seeing it well. Just, it feels clunky. And there was some of that because the O-line was contributing to the clunkiness and the lack of a run game. But when he actually, like, went back to pass outside of a couple of plays, I think he saw it pretty well, got the ball and the direction it was supposed to go, and then it just went off dude's fingertips like 7 or 8 times.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't just throws from Jaden that guys couldn't catch, because Diami threw a dime to Ozzie in the end zone that he dropped. But I chalk up a lot of the mistakes to the fact that it was a Week 18 game, as you said, as I keep trying to say, it was almost a preseason game in terms of the way that they dealt with Jaden there. You're right. I didn't think that he made poor decisions. I was a little alarmed by how the offensive line was protecting him. I mean, obviously, Micah Parsons is a all-world pass rusher, but, you know, the fact that he was able to beat Michael Dieter, as quickly and as easily as he did on a few occasions is a little concerning as you look at next week, because, you know, Vita Vea is a load in the middle, and if he gets under your pads, you got no chance of slowing him down. So it's going to be a big matchup for Biadasz there in the middle, if he's able to go, and obviously if not, Dieter. But, you know, it was a sloppy game. This team has been quite sloppy early on in games for most of this season, and, you know, it's not a great feeling to not feel confident that this team's going to come out and be ready to go, you know, in the first half, or be clicking on all cylinders in the first half. But I think that this Bucs passing defense presents opportunities for the Commanders to move the ball down the field a little bit. And, you know, we saw it in week one when Jaden was able to get loose with his legs to the outside a little bit and was able to hit Eckler for a couple of those nice little passes, and Brian Robinson for a couple of those nice little, you know, quick shots that they were able to take for 20 plus yards. I think that's a part of the game plan that, as we've matriculated through the season, we haven't seen them use the running backs in the passing game as much. Certainly part of that is Austin Eckler, you know, being out with a concussion for the past 4 weeks. I think he's a big part coming back. I think he can be a big difference maker. And there's going to be opportunities for Jaden to find Terry, to find, you know, OZ, to find Jameson down the field a little bit. And I think to win this football game, they're going to have to hit a couple of these longer passes.
Oh yeah, for sure. The explosive plays have to come back, but there was a couple opportunities. I would definitely say everyone should stay tuned for Logan's vantage point, as someone who's in the end zone where OZ dropped the ball on the Diami one. Interesting insight from Logan on that one that folks will hear in about 10 minutes. Of course, there is the whole other side of the ball, Mitchell, where Baker Mayfield has thrown for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns this year. He's like the 10th guy in NFL history to throw for 40 touchdowns in a season. The other nine are Hall of Famers. So just an absurd year production-wise for Baker Mayfield against a Commanders defense that definitely missed Quan Martin this weekend, definitely missed Marshawn Lattimore this weekend, is hoping to get those two back. Quan's was just an illness. We all know Lattimore's got the hamstring. How confident are you that this defense, with those pieces back in place, can step up against a Tampa offense that gave it to them pretty good in week one?
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that this team is going to shut down Baker and company. I think a big difference maker was Jalen McMillan in that first game, was wide open, particularly in the first half on two or three little, you know, kind of wheel routes, rub routes with the other receivers on the outside. And Baker was just a little bit off and missed him. Otherwise, that first half that the Bucs, I think, were up 17-7 at halftime, could have easily been, you know, 24 or 31 if Baker was a little bit more so. But we've seen this secondary, which, you know, in years past have had issues with the communication stuff. We haven't seen that as much this year. I think the Bucs game, they were still working through some things. And obviously, if Lattimore is able to go, that just creates an entirely different, you know, situation for this team. I mean, we all know about the Lattimore and Mike Evans, you know, incidences that they've had, you know, the fighting and the shoving and all those different things. They played each other in 13 games. Mike Evans has gone for 34 catches for 567 yards and three touchdowns in 13 games, all well below his career average. Lattimore clearly gets in his head. And for Marcus Lattimore, he has a pick. He's got 13 passes deflected when he's covering Evans in those matchups. A fumble, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. In the playoffs, he had a couple more pass deflections. I mean, this is a guy that can shut down their number one receiver. And I know folks are going to have in their head what happened, you know, against Philly and all the PIs and all those different things. I think this is a little bit of a different situation where it's not just about, you know, the physical play on the field. I think it's also a massive head game. And clearly, whatever started with these two early on in their matchups in the NFC South, it's a thing. I mean, Mike Evans is clearly not the same football player he is versus Marshawn Lattimore versus the rest of the NFL. And so it's going to be important that Marshawn's able to get out there. And if he's not, I think, you're going to have to hope that, some bubblegum and tape are able to keep the secondary together and stop Baker from hitting any of those explosive downfield plays.
Yeah, let's tape the flag in the referee's pocket on St. Juice side of the field. Please no more of that. By the way, in that week one game, how about this for a throwback, Mitchell? I just pulled up the snap counts. In that game, going down the list, Emmanuel Forbes played 34 snaps in that game. Fedarian Mathis played 23 snaps, which was three more than Dante Fowler played in that game. And Jamin Davis also played 13 snaps in that game. So that's how long ago this game was.
I mean, let's be honest. The Bucs are a better team today than they were in week one when the Commanders played them. But the Commanders are far and away a better team than they were when they played the Bucs. This Bucs team is a veteran team. For the most part, the core group has been together. When they were playing in that week one football game, obviously everyone's knocking off the rust that they're knocking off, but that team that played together, they knew what they were doing. This Commander's coaching staff and this Commander's roster was both trying to figure themselves out. We were seeing players play in different positions. We heard both offensive and defensive coordinators talking about wanting to try and figure out where players played best. And, that was the first time they really got to see these guys with the bright lights on of a regular season football game. So things are a lot different today for Washington than they were in week one. And for Tampa, they're a better team, but it's pretty much the same team we're seeing. So I expect this thing to be a lot closer and to be a really incredible football game.
I totally agree. Can't wait. Sunday night football. It'll be on NBC. Mitchell and JP will be live on the Monumental Sports app after the game for their post-game show, the Beltway Football Podcast. You can also check out all their previews and everything else throughout the rest of the week. Mitch, always appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next Tuesday and hopefully be talking about a Commanders win and a matchup against, I guess it would be probably Detroit.
Hey, listen, we'll see where they're going next week. Could be Philly, could be Detroit. Regardless, I'm excited. I think we're going to come away Sunday watching the Washington Commanders celebrate their first playoff win since, when.
A very long time ago. If they do, will you and JP do the post-game show from the pirate ship?
So the last time we were there, we tried to do the show from the pirate ship and were explicitly told that we were not allowed on it.
So, honestly, there's zero part of that is surprising. Not a single thing.
You know that they care so much about that pirate ship down there, and that thing is awesome. And the cannons are hilarious because JT gets scared every year when we're down there and the cannons go off, as well as many other people. But it will be pretty fun. It'll be a pretty fun post-game show, and I imagine there will be a lot of holy potatoes if they're able to come away with a W.
You know what you have now, though, that you didn't have last time? You got the 2025 DC Sportscaster of the Year, JP Finley. That's what you got this time. Yeah, JP got named. Maybe it's 2024, but JP, Sportscaster of the Year in DC. Congratulations to your co-host. Take that medal, that trophy, whatever. Maybe it's just an email at this point. Show that to the people keeping the pirate ship. Take that, Tampa. Mitchell, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
I've always known JP as elite. I'm glad the rest of the world does too now.
See you, man. That is Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, take command. Tape Tuesday.